Well, for me, there's nothing more exciting than working God's Word and discovering the great truths that God has put there so that we can be blessed. He has given us phenomenal, great truths and realities that are in the depths of His Word. But one thing I really, really appreciate, and I believe very foundational for every believer, is that the Word teaches us a true freedom that we have in Christ. A real freedom. A liberty that sets us free from the worst thing man has to fear. And what is the worst thing man has to fear?
Sin.
Yeah, death, sin and death. And we have been set free. We've been given eternal life. So, real thankful for that. Well, we've been working the book of Romans, and we've looked at a number of things in the scriptures, and we've seen that Romans is the Magna Carta, the Declaration of Independence for the believer, because it teaches the true freedom they have in Christ. And the true freedom they have from sin and death, along with having the righteousness of God and the hope of Christ's return, which is for us eternal life. Monday, we read, got into chapter 7, and that's kind of an interesting chapter if you're familiar with it. Paul is wrestling with how to deal with his life, with sin and death, and what to do with the law. And he's talking about that which is good, I would, that I should do, I do not, right? So we're going to start there as a little review and then move into the wonderful chapter 8. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 7, we're going to start in verse 19. Chapter 7, verse 19, and it says, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not, it is more I that do it than sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." Now, if you remember in previous sharings, there are four words that really come up throughout the book of Romans, and they're kind of in pairs. Do you guys remember what those four words are?
Sin and
death, and then righteousness and eternal life. And we see that woven throughout Romans here. And of course, in this section here, we see sin, we see death, we see the law, which is the knowledge of sin. So poor Paul just has a predicament here, doesn't he? He's just like everybody else. And then he declares himself in verse 24. He says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this what?
Death."
There it is. This dead body. Who's going to deliver me from this dead body? Then verse 25 is interesting because it says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And then it really doesn't say anything about what delivers us, does it? He's already thanking God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And what we have here is a wonderful figure of speech, ellipsis. And it is... Ellipsis is where something is missing, but it's obvious that it should be there. But it should bring our attention to that which is missing. And what is missing is that God does deliver. He has already delivered us. We don't have to be all fretting about the law and sin and everything else. We have been fully and completely delivered through Christ. Then he could say, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation to who? Those who are in Christ Jesus. And the rest of the verse is not in the text. The King James boys felt it would be nice to have that in there because it goes along with what's said in the coming up verses later on in that chapter. But the text don't have it. It's simply no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. If there's no condemnation, then what does that mean? There's no condemnation, right? And what is condemnation? If you are condemned, then you're judged to be wrong and you're going to suffer the consequences, right? No condemnations in Jesus Christ. Is there anything that Jesus Christ would come before you and say, Bob, you should have not done that. You messed up there. No condemnation. Nope, not in Christ Jesus. Boy, that should be a freeing reality, isn't it? Talk about liberty and freedom to not be able to have to deal with condemnation. We don't have to. Man will put us into condemnation, doesn't he? Man judges us. Man says things about us that are not true, and sometimes they might be true, and they want to put us down for it. That's not our Heavenly Father and His Son. Well, let's read on. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me what?
Free
from the law of sin and death. There's those two words again. This we looked at this verse before. It's kind of a overall theme verse for the book of Romans in light of what we're looking at here. For this spirit of life that we have, the new birth spirit, the Christ in us, that has made us free from the law of sin and death. What a great reality. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay, there's that righteousness that comes in. You know, we are righteous before God because of what Jesus Christ did. And that we want to hold on to. To me, that's one of the greatest freedom releases, is to realize I am right before God. There's nothing that I can be condemned with. I can't be thrown in the spiritual jail for breaking any laws because I am righteous in God. I have His righteousness. Man, if we could really grab onto this and not succumb to the whims and beliefs and the dictates of man and the flesh, we would be a much happier people, I tell you. For they, verse 5, for they that are after the flesh, what do you think they're thinking about? Well, the verse says, do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So when we think of things after the Spirit, what are we going to be thinking about? The great truths and realities of who we are in Christ, our identity in Him, all our sonship rights, the hope of Christ's return, these are the things we want to think about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it says in verse 6, if you didn't get it in verse 5, verse 6, for to be carnally minded is
death.
That's the end of it there. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace. Wow, when you got peace, you're not all riled up. You're not in a sense of condemnation. You're not worrying. You're not full of doubt. You have confidence. And we should have great confidence. If we're spiritually minded, then that is life in its fullness and its peace. Why? Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I don't care what you do in the flesh, it's not going to please God, right? What pleases God? You and Christ. Christ in you. That's what really tickles God's fancy, if I could use that figure of speech, huh? Yeah, that's what really counts. But, verse 9, you are not in the flesh, but in what?
The Spirit.
If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Boy, how plain could that be? Now, do you have the Spirit in you?
Yes.
You know, Christians are kind of wondering, do I have the Spirit? Is that Spirit abiding in me? Well, if you're born again, God's Word says you have Spirit. You've got Spirit in you. And if you've got Spirit in you, then who do you belong to?
God
Almighty forever and ever. Yeah. Well, how do you know you got Spirit in? You can't hear, taste, touch, or feel Spirit. So how would you know you've got Spirit in you?
Because
speaking tongues.
Manifestations, that's right. Speaking in tongues. I shared that with the garage group this morning. I haven't really gotten into speaking in tongues much with them, but just what we were talking about, the subject of the Spirit came in, and how do you know you got the Spirit? Well, manifestations, right? You manifest what you have, and 9 manifestations. Speaking in tongues is a manifestation that God uses so that they knew they were filled with Holy Spirit. So, boy, oh boy. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Wow, that's pretty drastic, isn't it? And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of
righteousness.
There's that righteousness. If you're right, you know, God's right, then you're in good stead. And we have God's righteousness. Man, oh man, pretty neat, huh? But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. What does it mean, quicken your mortal bodies?
Make alive.
Yeah, make alive. Quicken is the old English word that means what we understand, make alive. So,
Spirit makes alive our physical bodies.
Yeah, so makes alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. There's that Spirit in you again. We are alive. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Isn't that fantastic?
Mm-hmm.
Woo! That's why I love speaking in tongues, because I know without a shadow of doubt that I have the Spirit in me and that I'm a son of God. And I shared with the group this morning that You know, sometimes for Christians, they get sidetracked into the worldly flesh trips and things going on with all the events of this crazy world. And they kind of wonder, where is God at? And I said, you know, for me, what really makes the difference and gets me right back on track is I start speaking in tongues. Because when I speak in tongues, what am I going to be thinking about, you wonder? I've got spirit in me, right? I'm consciously speaking in tongues by my free will, and now I know that God is with me. Really, really makes a difference for us, doesn't it? Man, oh man, it's just so great. Okay, where were you at here? Verse 15, I think. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but you have received the spirit of... And I know the King James has adoption there. But then it goes on to say, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, what is Abba? Abba is an Aramaic word that the King James boys left in there. And it means daddy. And I've been around children that are Jewish religion. And I remember at a pool, we were at a swimming pool with our grandkids, and there were other little kids, and their mom and dad were Jewish because they were yelling at their dad, Abba, Abba, look at me, I'm swimming, Abba, Abba. They know the word. Well, we cry Abba, Father, to God Almighty. And this word adoption is a Greek word that means sonship. You can be sons two different ways, basically. By birth, seed birth, or by adoption, what we understand adoption to be. And in this case, we know from other scriptures that we're born of incorruptible seed. So that spirit is seed. So it's the spirit of sonship, I believe would be a more accurate translation there, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And it's a very wonderful term of endearment, isn't it, Abba? Mm-hmm. Daddy, daddy. Isn't that amazing? The creator of the heavens and the earth, and we can call him daddy?
Yes.
Amazing. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Well, what does that mean? The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. God Almighty bearing witness with the spirit that we have within us, we know that we are children of God. And how can that spirit be manifested? Speaking in tongues, of course. So when you speak in tongues, you know that you are a child of God. And verse 17 says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with who?
Christ.
Boy, oh boy. You know, we always dreamed that somehow we would find out that we're some kind of related heirs to some rich uncle or, you know, somebody that has millions of dollars and we would inherit it. Hey, we're related to Christ. We're joint heirs with him. You can't have a better person to be joint heirs with, can you? Wow. Well, let's jump down here for the sake of time. My goodness. Let's jump down to verse 26. 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. You know, this Spirit making intercessions is speaking in tongues. We don't know what to pray for many times. Things are going on. But when we speak in tongues, that Spirit makes intercession. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Wow. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. And this word predestinate, you got to understand it not in the sense perhaps as we understand in our times predestinate, that, you know, something has been set way back when and you can't do anything about it. That's what it's going to be. But really, I think the better word is ordained. He also did foreordain. He said it knowing that we would be his child. Okay, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did foreordain, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us?
No one.
Man, no one, no one. Yeah, we've got a little chant that we do, huh? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God paid a dear price to give his son to have children like you and me. So if he would do something so loving and caring, then it makes sense that he would freely give to us all things. We should have great expectations when we go to the Heavenly Father, right? My goodness, yes. Well, verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Good question. What is Jesus doing now that he's up at the right hand of the Father? Well, this verse says he's making intercession for us. He's talking to the Father about us. Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, that Al, Heavenly Father, that Al's a great guy. He witnesses the word every time. Isn't he wonderful? Yes, yes. He's making intercession. That's pretty neat. Well, who shall separate us from this kind of wonderful love? I put my words in there, but separate us from the love of Christ. What's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Would tribulations do it?
No.
What about distress or persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? Hey, as it is written, we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. It's horrible being Christians. Verse 37 said, nope. Nay, and all these things, being tribulations, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword, and all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Wow. Verse 38. This is where we want to be. This should be our confession. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow! Can anything separate us from the love of God?
No.
Not a nothing. No. No way. Nothing. That love of God is there permanently, forever and ever. That's true freedom, isn't it? Man, oh man, talk about freedom. Woo! Spiritual freedom that God gives us. Fantastic. Amazing. Well, that's all we got for tonight. And maybe next week we'll get into a little bit more of this wonderful book of Romans. But I trust you've been seeing how great God is in giving us such great freedom, where we are not wrapped up into sin and death, but we live with God's righteousness and with the hope of Christ's return. Amen?
Amen.
All right.